You're listening to Good on Paper, a bookish podcast. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Rachel.
Join us as we journey together into the land of fiction, where the men are brave, the quests are epic, and everything is better on paper. Well, hey guys!
Hi! New week, new topic, everybody.
Yeah, and this week we're actually doing something fun. We're just going to be talking about...
You say that like all our previous episodes have been so not fun.
They haven't been, guys. We were just like forcing you to take notes and write down everything. Yeah. And we've been giving you homework assignments. But this time it's actually going to be fun. We're going to talk about everybody's favorite subject, which is book to movie adaptations or book to show. We're not discriminating here. We're just talking about adaptations. We're talking about all the things, whether we love them, we hate them, the good ones, the bad ones, just everything to do with adaptations today. So,
All the things they did right, all the things they did wrong.
Yeah.
Which are many, many things.
If we don't get too off topic, we might even talk about what we would do if our books turned into adaptations. Mm-hmm. But we have a penchant of getting off topic, so that might be another episode. But yeah, you have that to look forward to later.
Yeah.
So
right, I don't know if we can make it without Rams.
Yeah, I don't know. right off the bat, what are your favorite movie adaptations? Or actually, you know what? Let's simplify it even more. What are your feelings about adaptations? Because I don't know.
In general, like adaptations because I'm already invested in the story and the characters because I read the book, and B, usually the story and the world is a little bit richer because it was a book before it was a movie, which I really like. There are a lot of really bad adaptations out there, and I'm sure we've all seen quite a few of them. But overall, yeah, I'm usually pretty excited when I find out that a book is becoming a movie or TV show. I'm, like, immediately invested, and I'm like, wait, I need to go read this book immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to hate, like, as a kid, as a teenager, I hated adaptations across the board. There was never a good one because I wanted it to be exactly like how I imagined it in my head, you know. But I don't know if it's growing older and knowing more about storycraft, where I appreciate, okay, these are different mediums. Things are going to have to change. But whatever the reason now, I actually enjoy adaptations. Another reason that I enjoy them could be that I will watch the movie first, then read the book, which I would never do. That was a sin. You know, growing up, you always read the book first and then you watch the movie. But I found that it's generally more enjoyable to do the movie first because the book is always going to be better than the movie, in my experience.
True.
Versus the movie is hardly ever better than the book. I mean, I'm a reader, so maybe I'm biased, but
yeah,
that could be another reason why I enjoy adaptations more is because I'll watch them first and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to read the book. You know, but I know for some people,
I did that with
it. Oh, sorry. You go ahead first.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No, I totally understand. Like, some people, they already have the spoilers, so they don't want to read it now. Mm-hmm. Versus I'm like, I want to read it and see how accurate it is. And, like, and like, for me, I watched Lord of the Rings long before I read the books because I watched them for the first time when I was, like, in seventh grade. I had read The Hobbit, but I had not read the Lord of the Rings yet. And for me, watching them so many times and then reading them made it so much easier to read because I could picture everything. I had a better grasp of the story. I didn't get confused like I probably would have if I had just straight up read them without watching them first. So for me, it was like I got to have like a snapshot of it and then I got to read it so that I better, and like going into reading it, I felt like I better understood it because I'd already watched it. So I agree. A lot of times I prefer to watch it first and then read it because I feel like I know it, but I don't know it to the depth that I would if I had read it. So I'm still reading something new. Like, it's still exciting.
Yeah. And I know for some people, they don't want the picture in their head because they feel like it ruins it for them because they don't get to imagine the characters. But I don't find that's the case with me. Sometimes I do imagine the stuff from the movie in the book. Yeah. But I will watch a movie and then read the book and I still imagine it totally different in the movie. So, for instance, I just watched Lockwood & Co. on Netflix, and then I read the book, and I pictured the characters in my head differently than the actors. I mean, for one, mm-hmm. one of the characters is totally different in the book than the movie, so that was easy. But the things I did yeah. imagine the same was a lot of, like, the landscape kind of stuff and maybe certain action mm-hmm. with the ghosts. I imagined the same, but then it was, like, it was weird because it was also cobbled together with the show and then my own imaginations and visualizations that yeah. I was doing myself. Like, I pictured the characters mm-hmm. a little differently, I think, in my head.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Brains are interesting how that works. Mm-hmm. I don't know if other people do that, but I can watch a movie and then still imagine it totally different in my head. Like, that's no issue for me. Yeah. Maybe that's because yeah, I'm a writer. Same. I'm not sure.
I feel like your brain picks out the things you liked or that made sense mm-hmm. and it just leaves behind the things yeah. that don't. Because, like, for me, I pictured the Shire the same way it is in the movie in Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. But for me, Frodo is totally different than Elijah Wood when I read the book. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not the yeah. same person to me. Like, the movie and the book exist separately in my mind. They just kind of commingle a little bit visually for me, but not totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. Like, now the more I think about it, the more I'm like, wow, like, imaginations are such weird things. Like, how do we visualize yeah. all this stuff in our head when we're reading?
Yeah, you know? It's weird. It's very weird. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes I'll be reading a book and, oh, I hate this so much. Somebody, the author will use a description that I personally find unattractive about the character. And once they say that, I'm like, you ruined it. Because now I can't see them right? without this thing that I find unattractive. So I'm just annoyed the entire time because I'm like, I can't unsee this. But it's funny because seeing an image on the cover of the book, like if they have the people there, that doesn't change how I visualize yeah. them in my head at all. But the descriptions do.
Well, that's funny because I don't think the descriptions really affect me. I think I just ignore the author. Because so in the Red Queen series, which is really funny because I've read other people's reviews of this. So the main prince character is named Cal, and I picture him blonde. And apparently other people do too. Like, I don't know, just he's a prince and his name is Cal, and that to me sounds blonde. But he actually has dark hair. And this other reviewer I was reading was complaining about this. She was like, no, Cal has blonde hair. This is just how I see it. And I thought that was funny because I did the same thing too. And even when the author says something about his dark hair, I'm just like, nope. And I just continue picturing blonde Cal like I want him to be.
Yeah. I do the really same funny. Thing. Like, there was a book I read once where I read the whole thing. And then it was a couple of years. It might have been like a couple months later, honestly. I went to go back to reread it and realized that she was a redhead. And I'd been picturing her as a brunette the entire time because I completely missed the part where she described her as a redhead. And I was like, oh, I was wrong. But she's already a brunette in my head, so we're already there. I think for me, I don't fully notice the details a lot of the time. But if I do, and it's one I don't like I find unattractive, I have to, like, really try to reimagine that person in a different way. Because I'm like, there was one where I read one time where she described how long the guy's fingers were. That he had long, thin fingers to play the piano with. And I was like, ew. Like, that just sounds gross to me. So then I got, like, creeped out by the guy. Like, ruined everything. Because all I could think about was his long, skinny fingers. And I was like, why?
Oh, my God.
So when I do pick on them, they impact this story. But a lot of time, I don't pick up on them.
Mm-hmm. That's so
which is funny. Because we get so, like, bent out of shape about how an actor looks playing the role. Like, if they don't look the right way, we get really upset about it. But half the time when we read a book, we don't pay attention to how they look anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. I know a big one for me was Annabeth in Percy Jackson. Did you ever read that series?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay, so it's a middle school series, and it's about these kids who find out that they are actually the children of, like, the Greek gods. So you know how in Greek mythology they had, like, the demigods, which were, like,
yeah.
half mortal, half god children. So the one best friend of Percy is her name is Annabeth, and she has blue eyes and curly blonde hair, right? So then the movie adaptation, the movie adaptations aren't good, but because me and my cousins were so obsessed with Percy Jackson, like anything Percy Jackson, we didn't care. Like it could be the worst quality. Mm. We were just that level of fandom with it. So the movie has a girl who I think is probably naturally blonde or like a pretty light brown. Like has lighter hair, but her hair is dyed like a dark brown, like a dark reddish brown, I think. And she has blue eyes. And the whole time, we were just so upset because Annabeth has curly blonde hair and you're going to take this probably blonde actress and dye her hair dark. Like what? That's not how Annabeth is supposed to look. You know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
For another movie, she had it like that. I'm not sure, but I was just like, really? And you couldn't curl her hair. Like we have curling irons, guys. Like it's not that hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because there are times when I care a lot about it. Like, because I watched Lord of the Rings first, then I read the books. After I read the books, I was so mad. I was like, why the heck is Frodo 18? He's supposed to be like, you know, 50 something years old, but he looks like he's 30. Why is he an 18-year-old little boy? This is all wrong. Like, I was so mad. And so now I just separate the movie from the book for myself, and I still adore the movie. But I was like super upset about it. But it's funny because if anybody has watched The Vampire Diaries, in the books, Elena is blonde. And in the TV show, she has dark hair. And it never has bothered me at all. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because she does the role so well, I don't care. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care what color hair she has.
That's very true. Because, like, the newest Little Women that came out, I think it's Saoirse Ronan. Mm. Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Who plays Jo? I'm not sure. I probably totally butchered that. Or I probably didn't even remember exactly what her name was. Probably total wrong last name, but anyway, so you guys have all seen Little Women, I'm sure. I mean, this is Bookstagram. I know you guys have seen it, so you know who I'm talking about. So the girl who plays Jo is very blonde, and Jo is just such a brunette character in my head, I think in everybody's head, that at first I was upset about it, but then I saw the movie and her spirit was just so Jo that it didn't bother me. And I think that's why these producers do these things sometimes they find somebody who's so right for the role, even though they don't exactly look right for it. Then they cast them anyway. And honestly, I think I'm actually glad they didn't dye her hair, because a lot of times when you dye someone's hair, it just looks fake. Like on somebody that blonde, the hair just would have looked fake. So, you know, I'll watch Winona Ryder in the 1994 if I really want my dark hair Jo. You know what I mean? Although,
to
me, Winona Ryder is too pretty to be Jo. But, and actually my favorite Jo is from the 2017 series with Maya Hawke, the girl that's in Stranger Things. She, to me, looks the most like Jo, but that adaptation sadly has, like, kind of bad sets in acting, so... You can't have it all.
No, I know. That's like, I think that's the distinction with casting for me is like I get upset about the Frodo thing because the age really impacts the character's attitude. And like, it just kind of impacts the relationship between him and Sam. And I'm like, this is wrong. They should be more like at the same level age versus Sam feeling like an older brother or father figure kind of thing. Anyway, I have beef with it. But when it comes to like, if the character doesn't look quite right but they play it well, I don't mind, because like what is her name, Lily Collins in The Mortal Instruments. I mean, her hair color in the Mortal Instruments movie was like a dark reddish brown. In the books, Clary has like orange red hair. Well, the girl in the TV show, Kat McNamara, she's a much better actress now, but at the time I don't think she's a very good actress, and I didn't like her in that role. But Lily Collins didn't look the part, but she played it well, and I liked her as that role, versus someone who actually looked the part. I didn't think she did the role well, so I didn't like it anyway, even though she looked appropriate for the role. So, I mean, you kind of have to weigh it. Like, you can't have everything all the time. So it's like, do you want them to look right, or do you want them to act right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wait, ideally, okay, so you'd get both, but...
Speaking of Lily Collins and Tolkien and books and movies, have you seen the movie Tolkien?
No, I saw the ads for it when it came out, but I never saw it.
You have to watch it. It's so good. I just watched it. I think you would really like it because you're a Lord of the Rings fan. And it has Lily Collins in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the ads when it first came out, but I never did watch it.
I had never heard of it until this year. And I watched it. It was just a really good movie because there was nothing, like, objectionable in it. But it was an amazing story. And it wasn't preachy either. It's like, I feel like movies these days are either, like, really weird and degenerate and racy or whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, if you want to watch something that's not that, you have to watch some super preachy, moralistic movie. Yep. You know what I mean? It feels like there's no in between. And this, I felt like was a good, it was entertaining, but it wasn't like trying to preach anything to you, whether it was bad behavior, good behavior, whatever. It was just a movie and it was really good. So
I have to check that out. I'll have to check that one out.
But another adaptation that I rewatched was the Harry Potter movie. And when I was a kid, I hated the adaptations of the movies because I was so in love with the books, and the books are just really funny. There's a lot of humor in them that the movies doesn't get to or don't get to because, you know, it's a movie. You can't fit everything into a movie. So I just thought they just overplayed all the scary action part of Harry Potter, and they didn't get to all the funny, cute moments of friendship and the world that Harry Potter has. So I used to hate the movies. I would never watch them. Absolutely hated them. They were boycotted. They're not to be spoken of.
Yeah.
But I rewatched them, and the first two, possibly three, but definitely the first two especially, I was surprised. I was like, wow, this is actually, like, really cute and magical and not nearly as bad as I remembered. Like, I don't know why I had such a vendetta against these movies. They're not that bad, you know?
Yeah. That's that whole thing where when you're young, you're like, it has to be exactly like the book. And as you get older, you're like, oh, well, it can't be exactly like the book.
You know, and I think it captures the spirit of it, which is the point.
Mm. Yes, I agree. Yeah, I read, oh gosh, I think the first four books and then on audiobook, and then I got distracted and never did finish them. So I've never finished the entire series, which I know that I should. So when I watched them all from beginning to end, when I watched them all from beginning to end, I had never read the books before. I had just like was watching the movies. I saw the first movie. I hated it. I thought, what the heck is going on? This is so, why do the staircases move? Why do they move? Like, everything feels random. Like, what is going on? Because I come from a Tolkien world where everything is, like, you know, connected to each other. And I'm like, wait, why is this stuff happening? I was just so lost. And then I ended up watching the entire series. And I was like, I kind of really like this. And then I went and read the first four books. And then I rewatched them again this last fall with my brother and sister-in-law. And really enjoyed them. I feel like because I'm not as invested in the books, I didn't care as much whether or not they were accurate.
Yeah.
So it didn't really bother me very much. I do feel like something that I like that people are doing now more than they used to is doing TV adaptations versus movie adaptations for fantasy and whatnot, because it gives you more time. Because, like, you get to have all those little moments when you spread them out versus when you have them in 2 hours. Like, how are you supposed to fit an entire 400-page book in 2 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, I think readers all over the world have been praying for more TV adaptations of books because it makes more sense. Because, actually, a novella is about the length of a movie. I learned this when I was researching how to write a novella, and they said the action in a movie is about the same as a novella. So novellas translate really well to movies. But with a book, you have to cut it because a book does not fit into a 2-hour format. It just doesn't. So TV shows, TV shows are like how books are supposed to be adapted, you know?
Yes, because, I mean, people write chapters almost like an episode anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it has like a natural flow. So it just makes sense. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
Listen, TV executives, make more fantasy, please.
Yes. I know. That is really exciting. All these TV show adaptations lately. Because I think that is a new thing. Probably with the rise of Netflix and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they realized that budget-wise, they could afford to do it as TV shows instead of just movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think Game of Thrones kind of changed that for people, where they were like, oh, we can do fantasy in a TV show. And I'm like, yes, you can. Yeah. Thank you for all of the fantasy TV that's coming out lately. It makes me very happy.
Yeah, me too. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your least favorite adaptations?
Mm-hmm. The first one that came to mind might surprise some people. The Hobbit was one of my least favorite adaptations. Mm-hmm. Which, like, I love Peter Jackson. I loved Lord of the Rings. I appreciate the Hobbit movies if I separate them from the books entirely and think of them as something totally on their own. But even still, I don't love the adaptations. And I've watched the appendices. Like, I know all the reasons behind why they did things the way they did. And I just still disagree with, like, 80% of it. I just think it was not.
Yeah.
Was not my favorite adaptation in the world at all. Partly because, I mean, it was a single book written for kids. And then, and I get that they wanted to adapt it into something bigger. That's fine. I have no problem with that, changing the story. But the thing about adapting a book into a movie is that you have to find a way to keep the key parts of the story so they don't lose people who read the books and loved them. And then you have to figure out how to lift out the most important things and make it into a story structure that fits the length of a movie. And also shows things that translate well to screen. Because, like, you can read about a conversation that takes an entire chapter, but to watch that isn't much fun. So it's like you have to figure out how things are going to translate. So I get all that stuff. But it's just the process of them creating this single book and splitting it into three sections. And I'm like, the first movie was okay. But then after that, it was like the story structure of each one just did not work for me at all. I was just like, it doesn't feel like complete movies. It doesn't feel like it's planned out well. I don't know. I just didn't. There's too many characters that don't do anything. Like, I feel like there could have been so many other ways to make it more interesting. One always disappoints me because I'm like, you guys are some of the best writers. Come on. So, yeah, that's one of my least favorites, personally.
I do think there is a danger into splitting a book into two movies, because it does totally mess up the structure, because the movie needs to have a beginning and the end, you know, in the middle. Yes. And so if you break it, and so the middle, basically, if the book ends up being the end, it just feels off. And I think that's where the beauty of TV shows come in. I noticed with the Deathly Hallows, the last Harry Potter movies, they split it into two, which I don't think was a good idea after watching it again. Because the thing is, they had already established that the movies were going to be more action-based. They had to be. You know, so the fifth one and the sixth one, big books into a tiny movie. So it was very action-based, and it had a certain pacing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the sixth or the seventh and the eighth movies, I guess, technically. And all of a sudden, they had all this room to put in all of the slow parts of the book. And it just felt wrong after watching the other movies. And then it just split up the action in a way that, I don't know. I know why they did it. And it's because this is the last time readers get to see Harry Potter. They want to see more of the stuff that happened. But I'm like, you guys should have just saved that for, like, when you do a TV show down the road. Because you know that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure before I die, there's going to be a Harry Potter TV series. I just know.
Yeah.
So personally, I think they should have just crammed it all in and made it more the pace of the earlier movies, because it just felt weird having that slow pacing and then ending it in the middle. The story structure just doesn't work, because the movie has to be its own work too. You know, it has to be a solid thing. You can't just throw the book in and expect the book to speak for the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, excuse me. My mom asked me one time when I was talking about writing the third book of my series, how big it was going to be. She's like, well, can you split it into four? And I was like, no. Because even a series that spans three books, if it's an ongoing storyline, should follow a storyline within those three books. So if you add on a fourth one, you have to add on a bunch of stuff. and try and make it seem like it was planned that way. And it wasn't. It's like, it's not, no, yeah. we're not doing that. And I'm like, that's, you can't, it just doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work as well to split something up like that. Unless you're going to do like mini episodes, like a TV show where you do episodes of it and it's kind of like chapters of it. That works. But to split it into two or three sections, it just never translates the same way. The pacing is wrong.
It needs to be balanced, you know, and that's the thing. I'm finding trouble with the Red Queen series that I'm reading right now is, you know, the first book starts off, you know, it's a small book. And then as they go on, the books are getting bigger. And I'm like, this would have been so much better had she cut chapters and made them all the same size. Because the reason they're getting all big is she's putting in stuff that, well, putting in stuff that I personally don't think needs to be in the book. Reading some of the reviews of it, it sounds like some people did like the stuff she was putting in. So I can see where she was maybe influenced by the reviews and putting in stuff that the readers wanted. But to me as a writer, I think it totally made the book sloppy compared to the first one, which was sad. But you know, everybody has different tastes. And if all these readers were saying that's what they wanted, you know, who am I to say? But to me as a writer, I would have not done it that way because it makes it really unbalanced. You know, if you don't.
Yeah, like each
structure.
Each book. Yeah, no, I agree. Like each book in a series, it makes sense that your last book should be a little bit longer than your first one. Yeah. Because usually you're trying to wrap up a bunch of stuff. But not astronomically bigger than your first one. Like it should be like, you know, little stair steps through each book, but not like, oh, here's the first two that are 200 pages and our last one is 600 pages. Like, whoa, man, where did all this extra stuff come from?
Yeah, like, unless there's a reasoning for it. Because the only series I can think that does this well is Harry Potter. And that's because he starts 11 and he ends 17.
Yeah.
So the extra material is, like, a maturity factor. It starts as a children's book and ends as, like, a teenager's book.
Yeah.
So that, to me, makes sense. Whereas this series, she starts at 17 and she's still 17, 18, 19. And all that's been happening is other POVs are now added, which I personally, that really bothers me. If you do not start with a multi-POV book, and then this third book comes in with multi-POVs, like what? Like, I just feel cheated, you know? Like, keep
Start with what?
So if you start with a single POV in your first book, and then by the time you get to the third book, you add in other people's point of views, like, I'm just like, no, you establish something. It is a single character, you know, POV, and it should follow the thing that you set up, because that's what I fell in love with. So I just have some big beef with it, but I don't know, a lot of people seem to like it, so that's fine. And this is just me.
I feel like that would be almost like going from like first person to third person, like all of a sudden you switch ways of telling the story and it's like, wait, what? I'm confused. We're so picky.
I know now we're talking about books. Like, this is so funny, but I guess
I know we got off topic.
We really did. So for me, an adaptation I didn't like, so this is from when I was younger, so I should honestly probably watch it again before I say this, but I did not like the adaptation of Inkheart. Did you read those fantasy books when you were a kid?
I saw the movie once, but I never read the books.
Oh, okay. So you're familiar, at least kind of, with it. So I was obsessed with the book. I read it over and over again, and I loved it so much. And then the movie came out, and my beef with the movie is that the storybook characters that came to life and, like, escaped into the real world, they were too fantastical for me. Again, this is me imagining it in my head. So I'm picturing, you know, it's a normal girl in a normal life, normal world. I think they're in Italy. And then the characters from the fantasy book come out and they live in this small Italian town like they're in the storybook. And so I just pictured it as, you know, just like your average medieval town. It wasn't super fantastical, but it was like storybook characters. And then I felt like the movie made it just too fantastical. Like, it was too weird. Like, I just thought it would be like your average, like, medieval type. You know, so maybe it looks like they've gone back in time, but, like, they don't have, like, people with weird heads and stuff.
Yeah.
But again, that was me younger and things weren't lining up how I pictured it, kind of a thing.
Yeah. I remember watching the movie and not liking it. I don't remember much about it, yeah, but I know I didn't like it.
And that could have been the other thing. Could have been just a bad movie, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it just was not done well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a similar issue with, I don't know if you've ever read the Aragorn books.
Yeah.
But I read them in middle school, and then I watched the movie. I was so mad. Everything was wrong. Like, I don't mind if a few things aren't the way that they're supposed to be, but literally everything was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, the dragon's voice was weird. The elf Arya did not look the way she's supposed to look in the book. Aragorn didn't look accurate. Brom didn't look accurate. Nobody looked the way they were supposed to. The story didn't follow the right storyline. Yeah. Everything was just, it was like they took the idea. And kind of like with what you said with Inkheart, they tried to make it weirder. And I'm like, it's already fantasy. It's already weird because it's fantasy. Why are we making it weirder? Yeah. Like, this, there's no reason for, like, these things. Like, the Urgles, I remember they had, like, tattoos and stuff on them. And I was like, what are these big, beefy, tattooed guys? That's not a monster. What are we doing here? Like, it was just, I was so like, what is this movie? But they're making a TV show now, and I'm super stoked about that.
I'm really excited for that, too, because I remember I hated the movie, too. I just remember it just felt very cheap. And I think that's a huge difference, too, because Harry Potter never really feels cheap. It feels like they put in the money on the set and the costumes.
Yeah.
Aragorn, I just remember it felt really cheap, like the special effects. And then the biggest thing I hated about it is, so I read the books, and they're long books, you know, so that's another thing. It didn't all fit. And so I was watching it with my mom, and she's like, this is Star Wars. And I was like, what? And she's like, it's Star Wars. It's the same story. And when you watch it in the movie, it really is more obvious.
But when you're reading it in the books,
I mean, stories, you know, kind of follow other stories. But because Christopher Paolini was writing it, it had so much more original flavor in the book versus you lay out that plot line in a movie and you put in cheesy special effects, it really is kind of Star Wars.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
kid from the Star small Wars, town. Like,
I mean, that's genuinely a trope that people use in lot of books, where young kid mentored by old man, you know, goes to find his destiny. Like, it's a very common trope, and it's good when it's done well, but it was not done well. And I was sad because there are two actors in that movie that I love. Robert Carlyle, who plays the Shade, which I didn't love the writing of that, but he plays Mr. Gold on Once Upon a Time, for everybody out there. He's so good. He's such a good actor. And he got such a crappy end of the stick because that movie was so bad. And then the guy who plays the king, and I can't remember the king's name, but John Malkovich, I think, is the actor's name. Mm-hmm. Love him so much. And then that movie went nowhere and it was terrible. And I was like, I feel so bad for those actors because I would have loved to see them in those roles had the movie been done well. So that was sad. That's sad, too. Like, when they have like one or two good things, but then the rest of it sucked and you're like, oh, it could have been okay, but they botched it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was disappointing. I was like a teenager. That was one of the major disappointments for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this is, nope. Mm-mm. Sometimes they don't respect I think when they don't respect the source material enough, it really does a disservice to the movie, but then you also have to know that you have to change the source material in order to alter it. So, like, there has to be a good balance there. Books onto the screen is just, it's either a great thing or a terrible thing.
It is. I tried to watch Anne with a Z the other day, and that series has been out for years now. You know, it's Anne of Green Gables on Netflix, and I didn't watch it because, me being me, I was like, oh, this is gonna be stupid, I'm not gonna watch it. Which I'm trying to get away from that attitude because I've been pleasantly surprised. So I tried to watch it and I just couldn't get into it. I think, again, it was run into the problem of the looks, and the actress who played Anne, she looked exactly like Anne. She had red hair, which is hard to find. Red hair is rare, and she was the right age, but I didn't think that she was that good of an actress because she wasn't able to deliver the lines in a believable way. And I will give her the credit that delivering the lines of a book that was written 100 years ago, you know, this little girl is very wordy. And so it's old fashioned dialogue. And so she has to try and make this sound natural. So it's hard. So I'm not saying that she's necessarily a bad actress, because she's probably not, but she couldn't pull it off for me. Mm-hmm. It just sounded like she was acting the entire time. Like she was reciting off Shakespeare speeches. Yeah. It didn't sound natural. And then of course they had to throw in some part where, you know, Marilla and what is his name? Whatever, the two older, the couple that, they're not a couple, they're brother and sister, Marilla and Matthew, they wanted a boy, and they go and get her, and she's a girl, and Marilla's saying, you know, we can't keep you, we need someone to help with farm chores. Then, of course, TV Ann has to go in some speech about, well, I'm a girl, I'm strong enough doing farm chores, I can do all this stuff, and I'm just rolling my eyes, because I've read the book so many times. This was not in the book, and the thing is, if they had done that, if they had taken a little girl and made her do a man's work on the farm, people of that time in that village would have looked at them like they were abusing a little girl by making her do all this strenuous work. Like, that is the reality of the time. They would have looked at that as abuse. So to put that in there, I understand that some people, you know, want to push the feminist message.
Yeah.
And even if I don't agree with it, I understand why, you know, you want to put a message to empower girls. I get it. But it just, I just turned it off after that, because I was like, really? This was not in the book. It's clear it wasn't in the book. And so I turned it off, because I was like, this is just not historically accurate. And that's another thing for books for me is they need to be historically accurate. And back in the day, you would have not made a girl do farm chores. You know, that would have been cruel. Like,
I will say, for the most part, I want things to be historically accurate. The one thing I don't like, though, I know this is off topic, and I won't get off topic again, I swear. with Regency romance, I get it that men and women weren't supposed to be left alone. But I don't care if you're alone in the book. That's fine. I don't need them to have a chaperone, and I don't need everyone to force them to get married if they hold hands. Like, if we could drop that, like, plot device, that would be okay. Because I get so annoyed when every book is like, oh, they touch, they have to get married now. And I'm like, I get that that's real for that time. But this is not that time, and I'm getting annoyed by this trope over and over again. So for the most part, I want it to be real. But sometimes I get annoyed at certain things. But, okay.
Yeah.
I'm back on topic now.
Yeah, historical is definitely a big one. Because you want to make it a good story. And you also, the thing with historical accuracy is we can never really be historically accurate because we weren't there. So it's like, you have to decide how much leeway to give. And sometimes I do not mind historical inaccuracies. Sometimes they really bother me and I shut it off. Yeah. But sometimes I'll watch something with a glaring historical inaccuracy and I'll be like, oh, whatever, it's fine. And I keep watching. You know, I think it depends on how much I'm liking it as a whole. Like, I was already not enjoying Anne with an E. So they had that in there and I was like, okay, this is the last straw for me. But had I been enjoying it, I probably would have been just like, okay, well, that's TV these days. They put this kind of stuff in and I would have just kept watching it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah, good. But book adaptations are hard to find. That's the struggle with them making TV shows now, is I'm like, I don't know, are they going to ruin something or are they going to make something really good? It could go either way.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of TV adaptations that I really like. I can think of one that, it's not that I don't like it, but Little House on the Prairie, the, you know, the version they made in the 70s, that is not even Little House on the Prairie. That is a 70s sitcom or TV show that is vague, that shares the same title. Like, it's not Little House on the Prairie, like, at all. You know?
Oh, that's so funny. Because it's so popular.
Yeah, and it's good, and I'll watch it, but to me, that is two different things. Like, the books and the TV show is really...
See, I never read it, and I've only watched, I think I watched one episode. Because it wasn't really on growing up, so I didn't really watch it very much.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that it's not like the book.
No, it's really not. It's like they basically took like the Brady Bunch or like another show from that time period and they just put it in the Little House world. You know, the episodes have the same feel. The themes that they're talking about are the same. And the book is, it's an autobiography of pioneers in the 1800s. So it's very different. And they like moved all these different towns like throughout the course of her life. Whereas I'm pretty sure the show, they stay in the same place, you know, and they have all these characters that stay the same. Whereas I think that was just like one book. They take one book and they just like do it all, which I understand. Like that's how, what makes it a good TV show, but it's just, it's basically the Brady Bunch, but in the Little House world. Yeah. Like, that's what I think of it as.
That reminds me of Heartland, the TV show.
Yeah.
And the books are totally different than the TV show. Like, and I think there's like 10 books or something like that. I think I read one of them. And only one of the couples ends up being the same from the book to the TV show. But, like, after, like, the first season or two, like, everything is, like, nothing is the same from the book at all. And, yeah, I like the TV show. And I don't think people who've read the books have any beef with the TV show. But it's totally, totally different story than the books were.
That's so funny. Yeah, I never read the books, but I did start watching the TV show. And I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I always forget about that because I'm always like, oh, there's nothing good on. But I remember I did like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always interesting because sometimes with a TV show, you can tell when they're totally going off and sometimes the quality goes down. Like when they stop going by the book, like the quality will plummet and it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, now we see the true talents of you TV writers here with you're not using some author's work. Like you really can't write anything.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is... taking a quick, you know, turn to the worst. Yeah, definitely. I feel like there aren't that many TV shows that I watch that are actually based off of books, though.
Yeah.
I know Shadow and Bone is, but I've never read Shadow and Bone, so I don't know what's different from the book to the show.
I did not like how they did that one, because basically they combined Shadow and Bone with Six of Crows, which is a duology, and then that comes... Mm-hmm. So she wrote... Shadow and Bone, which is a trilogy. It is your average YA trilogy with your female first person main character, very standard. And then she wrote Six of Crows and Crooked Kingdom, which is a multi POV, really rich world building fantasy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it reads a lot more like Game of Thrones or something like that. Like, and basically they took the stories and they combine them into two, like, so they put it happening at the same time, which it is set in the same world and the characters do interact, but it's not like the timelines aren't like this. They're separate timelines. Like one happens first and then the second one happens, but they put it all in the same timeline. And the way they do it is really clever. I give them all the props for that. It is very cleverly done, but I just wanted to see it happen the way it's supposed to happen in the book. Like, you know, so it kind of fell flat for me. But it was pretty good. I thought the characters, I did not imagine the main characters, Alina and Mal, to look like how they did at all. But after I watched it, I was like, wow, like, I think the way the movie had them was even better. Like, I should have been imagining them like this the whole time.
Oh, so, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good reaction to have. Yeah.
I didn't. And again, I was older when I watched this. You know, this was, you know, a couple years ago. So I already had a lot more discernment when it came to how people are adapting things and storycraft and stuff. So I wasn't nearly as critical, I feel like.
Yeah. I had never read the books at all. I knew nothing about them before I watched the show. And I didn't mind the show. I liked it for the most part. The only things that I didn't like was... that I found the main character really annoying, which I've heard a lot of people say they didn't like her in the book either.
Yep.
And I was like, and I did not have any kind of like, I was not shipping her relationship with the male main character. I was like, eh, I don't really care.
Yeah. See, I think that's really interesting because I don't think I tend to find main characters annoying. I think I get so into their head that I don't see them as being annoying because they're being me. And you don't think of yourself as being annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I never find a main character annoying. It's really funny.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't find Alina annoying. And then same with going back to the Red Queen, some people's beef with it is that they find the main character really annoying. I never noticed that. And actually, I got annoyed when the author was adding in all these other characters' points of view because I just wanted her point of view. She's my main character. I'm sticking with her. I was loyal to her. And I actually, I've been skipping the other characters' chapters and just reading hers, which is total book blasphemy. But the thing is, the story is still making sense, which is proving to me that these other things are unnecessary.
That's unnecessary.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think she's annoying. Like, if I think about it, I guess she is. But as I'm reading, like, I'm so in her head that it feels like she's me, and I'm not going to call myself annoying. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I feel like I don't find – because I feel like a lot of people really harp on the main character all the time. Like, doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. They always hate the main character because that's the head they're in all the time. And I don't feel that way at all. Like, I liked Katniss in The Hunger Games. I had no problem with her as the main character. Like, most of the time, I don't have an issue. It's when the main character acts like an idiot – and even if I had just the information the main character had, I would have made a different decision. That's when I get really frustrated. Like, when I watched the Shadow and Bone, I was like, are you serious? Are you this stupid? Are you really this stupid? Really? Like, that's when I get annoyed, is when I'm like, would you stop being? Because there was a book I read the other day. It was a rom-com. And I really, really liked it. It was really good. But the girl at the end of the, towards the end of the book, there was a miscommunication trope, which it didn't last long, so I wasn't super mad about it. But the way she responded to it was so annoying that I got so mad at her that I loved her the rest of the book. But up to that point, and then once I got to that point and she was that stupid, I was like, I don't know if we can be friends anymore. You're acting like such an idiot right now. I get so, but I'm really reactive. Like, I'm very, like, judgy that way. So I'm like, you're being stupid.
Oh, it's so funny how, like, we as readers, like, get so emotionally involved with a character, whether it's, like, to get mad at them or whether to, like, just totally take them on so it feels like yourself.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Either way, you're just like, this is my identity now.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
And making it into TVs and movies just makes it worse.
It does, because then you have two different layers to work with there. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly, like, I don't know that I would ever want my book to be made into a TV or movie. Like, maybe it would be great if it was, but I'm like, I think it just stresses me out.
I would love for my books to be made into a TV show, and I would love to be the Peter Jackson of the TV show where I got to help direct it and make, like, all the final calls on everything. And I would, like, swear that I would not be pain in the butt about it. Like, I know we have to make changes. Like, that's fair. You can make changes. There are just certain things you can't change because they have to exist. Like, I would do it only if I could be heavily involved, which I feel like most authors say that, and most production companies don't want to deal with you, so they're probably not ever going to do that. So my books will probably never become TV shows, but if they did, that would be awesome.
I don't even think, because I cannot, like, some people do the fan casting, and I've tried to do that before because I feel like it would be fun, but I can picture my characters so clearly in my head, like, very distinctly. I can see every freckle. So to me, I just can't fan cast because I'm like, well, I can't ever find a person that, like, looks like that person. But maybe I should challenge myself to be like, okay, if you had to find somebody, you know, like,
who captures the spirit. That's like, I can't ever find someone who looks exactly the same, so I usually try and find someone with the right attitude or who can, like, kind of pull off the same vibe, then I'm like, okay, yes, you are that person for me, that works.
Yeah, this is making me remember, I actually did fan cast Wolf Run, like, my Anglo-Saxon novel that I'm super obsessed with that I really need to write one day again, but I can't remember. And I remember it was actually kind of fun because once I broke past the, they don't have to look exactly like it, I think I did find some, like, actors and like actresses that I really liked, but now I can't even remember what it was. Yeah. I don't think I wrote it down too.
See, and I also, like, when I begin writing a story, I find pictures to help me decide what that person looks like, mm-hmm. like, before I start writing. So I have, like, a cast, and it's not necessarily actors, just, like, Pinterest pictures, but, like, I have, like, a cast of people, images that I look at to remind me what this person looks like or what their vibe is like, just based on mm-hmm. that picture, and that's where I get the inspiration for the character from. So it's not hard for me to picture them differently, because that's just where I got the, it's not even from my own brain, it's what I found on the internet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I want to challenge myself to fan cast my mm-hmm. my lips now. I really should.
You
maybe
should.
Maybe I'll do that this month. Yeah. March will be my fan casting. Because I feel like people there are always interested in seeing that. Like, you know.
They are, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially because we all imagine it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to see, like, one image that the author picked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I should do that for my Kindle Vella, because I've been really slacking on, like, marketing it. So that could be, like, a fun way.
Yeah.
To, like, market. Yeah, I'll be like, okay, this is who would play this.
Mm-hmm.
And people have actually read it, too, because it's one thing if you do, like, the thing you're working on and nobody's read it. You know, like, it's interesting, but it's not that
That's
interesting.
True.
But, like,
yeah.
There's a small amount of people who've actually, like, read my Kindle Vella, so they would probably be interested to see.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be really fun. Because you already have fans waiting and would be interested in wondering.
Yes, my fans. It makes it sound so nice when you say it like that.
That's like,
that's true.
So many compliments. Yeah, they are. They would want to know. They'd be like super excited about it.
Yeah, I'm going to think of it that way now. Like, you know, if one or two people read my stuff, they are now my fans. And it just sounds so much, like, better when you say it like that.
Yeah. They're fans. I mean, they're fans of your book, but they're also, by, like, connection, they're fans of you.
Yeah. So I have book fans. You have book fans. We all have book fans. If you have a book and at least one person has read it and they liked it, you have a fan.
You have a fan. There you go. There's your pep talk for the end of the podcast.
Yep. We went from movie adaptations to now telling you that you have fans. It's okay, guys.
We don't know how we got here.
Yeah. Don't feel bad about yourselves now, though, because you have fans. We promise you.
Yeah.
Okay. And on that note.
Oh, gosh. All right, guys. Well, that was a fun talk about books and movies and TV.
Yeah.
So thanks, everybody, for joining us for that. Ride down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, it's always fun to hear people either rave or rant about something you have also seen or watched. So, you know, I hope you have strong opinions, whether you disagree with us or agree with us, and let us know in the comments. Head over to our Instagram page if you have some strong feelings about anything we've said. We would love to hear it. DM us. Like, we would love to hear it from you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it, and tune in next week for another episode. And if you enjoyed it, please consider leaving a review so that other people can find us, and we will see you in the future. Bye.